You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, where we thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Big news of the day, of course, involves LSU junior cornerback Derek Stingley. Rumor mill had started on Wednesday. Ed Ogeron, after practice on Thursday, gave the news.
He's questionable. He re-injured the same injury that he had in camp. So we have our doctors look at it. Very questionable for the game.
Stingley, of course, did not play last year against Mississippi State. If you remember that Friday night before the game, Stingley fell ill and was actually rushed to the hospital, and he missed the game against Mississippi State when KJ Costello threw for an SEC record 623 yards. Objectively, there is no argument against the idea that Stingley being gone hurts you. Of course, having the best cover corner in college football on the field in this game is something you want. Now, it looks like they will not have Derek Stingley for the game. You could certainly hear what Ed Ogeron was saying in the tone of his voice there. So how do they replace Derek Stingley?
Thank God we got Dwight back. I think Dwight is a good corner. Everybody's got to step up. We still have Jay Ward playing at safety, who could always move the corner. And, we have to go with it like that. Cordell's our nickel. Dwight is going to be our corner. And we can always use Jay Ward at corner if we have to.
So that is the good news, that they have options. So you would anticipate, of course, that Elias Ricks and Dwight McLaughlin would be your starting corners on the boundary. And Cordell Flott, who's been a nickelback primarily in his career, fits in that role. A Jay Ward, if he stays at safety, then you're looking for a dime back, whoever that may be, that would step up. Maybe you move Jay Ward more to a cornerback spot, a nickel or dime spot, and then you play Cam Lewis at safety or Jordan Tolles. Either way, it reshuffles your secondary, not having Derek Stingley. If you had Stingley and Ricks on the outside and Flott as a nickel and then McLaughlin as a dime, you feel much better. But when you take Stingley out, you then move everyone up a chair, and thereby each chair is a little bit less secure than if Stingley were out there and everyone were filling their roles. So against this Mississippi State offense, that is certainly not ideal. There's no game where you'd be satisfied with Derek Stingley being absent, but if ever there were a game where you'd want him out there, it's this one against the air raid, where you know Mike Leach is going to sling it around the yard 50, 60 times, however many offensive plays Mississippi State has in this game with Will Rogers and that bevy of receivers that the Bulldogs have. So no Derek Stingley, and LSU is going to have to get on without him. There's been a lot of speculation as to whether or not Derek Stingley would even try to return, or would he just opt out and head toward the NFL draft? I don't know, and I don't have a great opinion on that right now. I would say that let's wait and see how this all plays out. If Derek Stingley does return this year, we'll have that conversation. If he doesn't, we'll have that conversation at the time. But in the immediacy, at 11 a.m. on Saturday, LSU is going to play Mississippi State. It looks like they're going to play without Derek Stingley, which is sort of crushing. Now, at the time we're recording this, there still has been no word yet on John Emery or Trey Bradford, LSU's two running backs. As I was told earlier in the week from people within the LSU program, they felt very confident about getting those two players eligible this week. Perhaps news may come down at some point today about Emery and or Bradford, and LSU would love to have all offensive weapons at their disposal going into this ball game. Now, as far as left tackle, Ed Ogeron said they still have not yet determined a starter at left tackle yet for this game.
Not yet. We're still going to look at it. We're going to look at practice. We're going to make a game day decision. Garrett Dellinger, Anthony Bradford, those two guys are fighting for it right now. Cam Wire practiced a little bit today. We're going to see how well he is on Saturday morning.
Like we've said throughout the week, I'd be very surprised if Cam Wire played in the game. So either Dellinger, a true freshman, or Bradford, a redshirt freshman or second-year player, is going to get the go, very likely at left tackle. I'll remind you again, LSU starting Max Johnson, a left-handed quarterback. So at least this isn't the quarterback's blind side. But even though it's a front-facing, it would be a front-facing pass rush, having a first-time starter at left tackle, not ideal on the road in the SEC with all of the adversity that LSU is going to face. So LSU against Mississippi State, 11 a.m. I will give you a pick on this game coming up here shortly. But we will also hear from Ryan Clark about this LSU secondary and how the defense prepares to face this Mike Leach offense. Got to remind you about Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. Best tasting protein bar in the world. As a matter of fact, had a Built Bar today. My goodness, is it fantastic. BuiltBar.com. It actually tastes like a candy bar. From someone who's eaten protein bars for 20 years, most protein bars that taste really good generally aren't healthy. They may have protein in it, but they're not healthy. That's not Built Bar. Built Bar is high protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free, perfect for the keto diet, and they save you money when you get to BuiltBar.com and use the code LOCKED15. Use the code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to save 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Thanks for making us your first listen here, Locked On LSU. We visited with Ryan Clark to talk about this LSU defense and how they prevent a repeat of the performance a year ago against Mississippi State. One disclaimer, spoke with RC before the Derek Stingley news was made public. So we did talk about what it would be like without Stingley, but you'll hear me ask him if he had any update on that. And of course, that was before we knew the Stingley news and that he was unlikely to play in this ballgame. But I did start by asking RC how they prevent a repeat of a year ago.
I don't think it'll happen again, because if you watch this defense, it's been more multiple. You know, it's a team that plays zone and gives you opportunities to get eyes on the football. Anytime you look at a Mike Leach offense, it's vertical, right? They want to get vertical, which is when you're playing any type of three deep or man. They're trying to get those one-on-one opportunities where they can take shots. I don't think that Coach Durante is going to let them get into those type of situations except for outside. Right, you can put Eli in that, you can put Sting in that, but inside with your safeties, your nickels, and your backers, you want to have opportunities to pass things off. And I think that's the way you have to play this game. You also have to be multiple, right? Mike Leach, for all his quirkiness and pirateism and with all his other stuff,
pirateism,
matey, with all that other stuff, he's an extremely intelligent coach. And if he can read your mail, then he understands how to put his team in the best situations to beat you. This team, at least, hasn't played as well this year as they played week one against us, you know. And so I think the hopes are that we are a better football team now than we were last year. LSU is a better football team now than they were last year. And they're coached better, coached more multiple, which it seems. And I also believe that when you have a guy like C. Ray, who saw it last year and saw the type of stress his defensive backs were under because of the time after time after time of man calls, that'll be something they put into the game plan.
So if LSU goes more multiple, how does Mike Leach then respond? Like, what's their offensive response?
They do what they do. Like that's the one thing about Air Raid. That's the one thing about those teams is this is how we're set up. This is how we play football. And this is how we're going to utilize our talent. It's going to be now we change. Okay, if they're keeping us from getting down the seams, what crossers do we have, right? What type of zone beaters do we have? Do we have control routes, which is sit someone in front of the safety and now run the outside guy on a deep post, so we do get those one-on-ones. So now Mike Leach is going to start working more multiple in what he calls, which is bunch formations, it's stack formations, which is not something you see a lot from Mike Leach. Mike Leach likes to go, know exactly what you're going to do, know the three or four plays that we're going to run, and we run the best play for what we see. But if we can be more multiple, if we can be more disguised, now you make them game plan on the run, and I think that's a total advantage for the LSU Tigers.
Do you have any insight? There's obviously so much talk about Stingley and leaving practice. Do you know anything about if he was hurt or anything?
I don't, man. I didn't.
Then let me ask.
I'm trying to let them have their peace. It's tough to be a Stingley now. I know people are probably like, well, I wish I was going to be a first-round pick, which I do too.
Yeah.
I would like to be a first-round pick as well, but I was not.
Well, you did just fine for yourself.
Thank you.
But if – I guess there's enough conversation. Look, Ed's going to meet the media after practice on Thursday or this evening at 6 o'clock, so he'll get asked. It'll be the first thing he asks, or he'll just volunteer the information if there's anything to be said. But if, hypothetically, Derek isn't there – remember, he didn't play in this game last year.
Yes.
He fell sick the night before the game and did not play against State. So if he's not available, just I don't know
where Dwight McLaughlin is in his recovery.
He returned last week.
Yeah, you know, so you have in from everything I've heard from him and about him throughout the spring and throughout work before his injury, he's really come along, played extremely well. And he was obviously a top 100 recruit anyway before getting here. I think he would be a part of the game plan. And I think LSU is just, when you go without Sting, as you had to do last year a little bit, I think when you come to this season, understanding that whether it's great or not, it's also his last year, I think you have less fear of playing without him. You know, I think
because you know it's inevitable next year, so you just got
to
figure it out.
I think you're starting to prepare. Yeah. I think you look at it as an opportunity for other guys who will be here next year to get on the field and play. You have Eli on one side, who's obviously a stud. Cordell's experienced in the flat. Major gets his first interception last week. And I think, you know, things seem to be rounded into place, but it's obviously not against the level of talent you're faced this week. There's never a situation in life that you don't want to play without an All-American. You know, I'm just saying. Like, I remember being in school, there was never a game I walked up to and I was like, man, sure glad Kevin Falk isn't here today. I would hate to have that guy. You know, like that just never happens.
Right.
And so you definitely have to make adjustments. But I just don't feel, and this is going to sound probably nuts to people, I would have hated to lose him his freshman year more than I would now.
Just because there's more on the line then? And he was playing that level?
Yeah, just because, no, if it's the first game of his freshman year, it's different, right? If we're in game 7, game 8, when we know who he is and he's playing at a level that we probably have never seen any freshman play, I think you're scared because right at that point, you're like, oh, we got 2 more years of this dude, right? Like, this dude, like, he's young, he's healthy. And so now you're getting to the point, it's like you've started to prepare for his exit. And you understand that I've been working now knowing that he's no longer going to be here. And I think guys are more prepared when they're placed in that type of position. Whereas you sitting around freshman thing, you like, I ain't never going to play on that side. Like, something got to happen to this dude because this dude is never coming out.
Right.
And, you know, so I think that there's a – and also, too, if this is something bigger or something that has been mounting, the conversations have been had.
You mean about who's next?
Yes. Sort of
Okay.
Kind of the conversations have been had. And so I think they're more prepared now.
He's on Twitter at RealRClark25, Face First Podcast. If you're not subscribed, do it. YouTube channel as well, DB Precision. All RC's content is there. Make sure you grab it. I did also want to ask you about the linebackers.
Yep.
Because this seems like one of those games in particular where your linebackers are going to have to cover.
Yes.
So
it's not what we do well.
Right. So what do you do, man?
Like, not what we do well.
So Baskerville and Damone Clark seem to be the two guys that they're leaning on. So
I mean, I think you look at veteran. They're veterans, right? They're the smart guys. They are physical when needed to be. I don't think neither one of those guys is the guys you look at is the Patrick Queen, though.
No.
Right? You know, neither one of those are Quan Alexander. And I think that's when you get scared in games like this when you know Mike Leach much rather use his running back in the pass game than run the football downhill. So what is he going to do throughout this week in game planning to use that against Damone and Micah? Because that's what I would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those weird things. It's you hear about all the linebacker depth we had, or LSU, let me say, not saying, stop saying we.
You can say that, we. That I thought we went over this.
Yeah, the LSU.
If it was NFL, you can't say we.
I definitely
but college,
don't.
You can say
I
whatever.
I have no NFL we.
That's my point.
Yeah, and you know, and so you come into the season, you think you have all this depth, you lose a guy to ACL tear, and Mike Jones comes in, he doesn't play. And so you're not like you sit around trying to figure out, all right, if these are the two dudes we're going with, how are you going to approach each game in order to protect them against what they don't do well?
Mm-hmm.
This is a game you have to protect them against what they don't do well. So you can play some quarters coverage where, you know, everybody has a quarter of the field. Now you're asking those guys to just be hook droppers, see the football, break on the football, tackle the football. You can do that in first and second down. But once you get into third down, if it's third and medium, third and short, they're going to have to man up, right? Or unless you decide to blitz them and use safeties in coverage, but now you don't have help. And so I just think it's going to be one of those things that chess match is probably the most important chess match of the day. How we do schematically, or how we scheme schematically against what he'll do in the middle of the numbers, right? In the middle of the field.
One thing left to do is for me to give you a pick on LSU Mississippi State. We're going to get to that here in just a second. If you want to bet on LSU Mississippi State, Get to betonline.ag, betonline.ag, your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. If you want to place your wagers, do what I've done for more than a decade now. Betonline.ag, it's free, easy to sign up. Make your first deposit of funds. When you do, use the code LOCKEDON, and that'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag. If you want to bet on the Tigers or any of your NFL action this weekend, the best place to do it is BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Yo, going on the road, handling the noise, taking care of the football. We cannot turn over the football. We got to be very smart with it. We got to eliminate the explosive plays on defense to a minimum. They're going to have some. We got to play very well on special teams. We got to continue to make the progress that we made on offense.
Ed Ogeron, his final preview of the LSU game against Mississippi State Saturday, 11 a.m. I'm going to give you a score on this game and a pick in a second. But, you know, what Ed Ogeron said there is right. Mississippi State is a team that played well against NC State a few weeks ago, but NC State moved the ball. Mississippi State just forced three turnovers, which is why that ended up a 24-10 game. Mississippi State also, you know, has had some lulls. This is a state team that allowed 31 unanswered to Louisiana Tech, but ultimately rallied to win 35-34. Their game against Memphis last week, they lost 31-29. So they've struggled to put up the gigantic monster offensive day so far this year. But we know that Zach Arnett, their defensive coordinator, likes to be pretty exotic with his blitzes and bring a lot of different pressure. And an LSU offensive line that struggled, that could mean issues. Listen, my feeling in this game is pretty standard. Mississippi State is going to score. I don't trust Durante Jones in a matchup against Mike Leach. You have to earn, in my opinion, the benefit of the doubt. And we haven't seen Durante Jones as a defensive coordinator until this season. And when he went head-to-head with Chip Kelly, that was a resounding win for Chip Kelly. Durante Jones' defense was confused. And in the 2 weeks since, LSU's had superior talent, but we've still seen some of those coverage busts. There's nobody better at scheming those in their offense than Mike Leach, as we saw a year ago. We've made a big point this week of playing more zone instead of man. If you heard our chat with Sean Salisbury earlier this week, he explained why that's all fine and good, but if you're just playing zone, Mike Leach has an answer for that as well. I like Mike Leach over Durante Jones in this matchup. So my assumption, and then you take Derek Stingley out of the equation, my assumption is that Mississippi State is going to score. They're going to hit big plays. They're going to have guys running open in the secondary. Mississippi State is going to score in this ball game. The onus is on LSU's offense to match them. And I don't think they can do it. Based on what we've seen so far, Max Johnson under pressure has not been particularly poised. I love LSU's receivers, but will they have time to get them the ball in these developing routes? You'll have another starting tackle, left tackle for LSU on the road in a loud environment. I think that this game is essentially a mirror of the UCLA game. As a matter of fact, I'm picking the same exact score. If you remember that game, LSU was a four-point favorite. The line moved down to right at 2.5 inside of a field goal, and we're all thinking, man, look at all these people picking UCLA on College game day. They were picking UCLA, and I'll be damned. They were right that LSU wasn't ready for that moment, and I think it's the same situation here. Mike Leach's offense is better than Durante Jones's defense. They're going to score, and LSU's disjointed offense so far this year with a lack of a running game is not going to be able to keep pace with Mississippi State. I'm going to pick the exact same score as LSU's UCLA loss in week one. I'm going to pick Mississippi State to win this game 38-27. I think it's a game that could be close early, but similar to that UCLA game, I think it's a game where Mississippi State does extend their lead late and wins this game in Starkville and drops LSU to 0-1 in conference play. I would feel so much better about it if we had not seen the coverage bust the last 2 weeks. I would certainly feel better if Derek Stingley were there. I would feel even better if this game were in Baton Rouge. But there are so many variables in the, you know, the pros and cons list. There are so many cons for LSU. There are so many check marks in the Mississippi State column that LSU is going to have an awful lot to overcome. Here's hoping they can do it. We're back here on Monday, and I'm dead wrong. But you know we'll be back here on Monday recapping LSU and Mississippi State. If you're going to bet on LSU, Mississippi State, or any of your sports action this weekend, make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Bets podcast presented by betonline.ag. And as always, we thank you for making us your first listen right here every day on Locked On LSU. Until Monday, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day.